Welcome, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
DMC.
That was really cool because it was like a childhood fantasy, you know, come true.
Yeah.
Some DMC.
And what was the process for how that came together? Like, what first conversation happened that was like you guys and DMC?
Well, it's something we've wanted to do for a long time. And when this opportunity came up last year and it was to perform with somebody, he was just kind of like the first person we thought of since we wanted to do it in the past. So it was kind of a no-brainer. We didn't think he was going to say yes, and we didn't actually hear back from him for quite a while. So we assumed it wasn't happening. And then just out of the blue one day, we got a call that he was in.
Now, how hard was it to nail down songs? I mean, in terms of like, because there's so many Run DMC songs you would want to do.
I think, well, when we first were starting out, we used to cover King of Rock on our own. So this is like 1997, 98. We were doing that in our show already. It was like pre-Fat Lip. It's kind of like how we got into doing, trying to incorporate rap into it because we were doing it with covers. So when we were going to do this song with DMC, I mean, it was kind of, again, no-brainer. It's like, well, let's go do King of Rock. It's like a childhood dream come true. We're doing it with DMC now.
He was the guy because, you know, we had so many people at the AP Awards, artists performing and attending and presenting, and yet DMC was the guy backstage where, like, every band person was, like, running up to get the photo.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. Like, soundcheck, they're like, his flight's delayed. He's not going to come, so we're in the arena and, like, early in the morning, and we're running the set, and
it
we
was
get
early,
to that.
We're tired and just like.
Yeah, like we get
mellow.
To that part where he's supposed to come out, and he just appears.
Well, and we just started playing the part, not thinking about anything, like he was going to be there at all, and out of nowhere, all he hears, I'm the King of Rock! And we're like, where is he? And he came out, it was him.
It's like an apparition, like a spirit just materializes. And speaking of tributes and bands we've all grown up on, you know, a lifetime ago, I had an opportunity to work on the MTV Icon Metallica show.
Oh, yeah.
Which you guys played and destroyed. And I realize it's kind of damning you with faint praise, because to be honest, as a lifelong Metallica fan, that lineup left something to be desired. And you guys were the band that was like, I mean, stole the show. Or it was like you actually were good at playing a Metallica medley. And
well, that's
you could see
cool.
The dudes
Thank
in the
you.
Band were stoked from the audience, too.
I mean, we were definitely nervous, and it was like kind of early in our career too. I don't know. I remember it really well, and it was really fun. I never really knew if we did a good job or not. You know,
yeah.
We just kind of went out and did it. And we're like,
literally, I wouldn't bring it up if it, you know what I mean. If it wasn't the case, because it was awesome, and it was a night filled with like some questionable like, oh,
yeah.
I don't know if this was a good idea. And then you guys came out, and I don't think you know people thought like, oh, Sum 41 pop punk band. Metallica, and then you guys came out and destroyed, and it was awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, I actually did a Throwback Thursday where I posted my laminate from the MTV Icon on Instagram recently, and Kirk Hammett just wrote, no comment. What was some of the first music you were exposed to? What records did you hear around the house? Did you have family members who were musically inclined? What sort of gave you that first bug to want to pick up something and play?
My parents were in a band together, and my dad had a really big record collection. So I just really listened to everything that he had in his collection. But the thing that really stuck, my dad took me to my first concert in an arena when I was 5, and it was Ozzy on the Bark at the Moon tour and Motley Crue on Shout at the Devil. And that was it. I was done. Motley came out, and the production, and seeing Tommy Lee and all that was like, yep, I'm in. So that was, yeah.
Was that... Jakey Lee playing guitar for Ozzy at
yep.
that time? Yeah, wow. And the drummer then
was Carmine? Tommy Aldridge, who I took a master class with like when I was like 7 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a lineup to see. What a show. Those two bands together.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Amazing.
That was your first concert?
First concert.
It's a pretty good one.
Amazing. How about you?
My first concert was the Monkees.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I mean, music growing up for me...
a little bit of that Davy Jones baby face thing going on. It's cool. Monkeys are
I think
cool.
It's usually Mickey Dolenz, I guess.
Mickey Dolenz.
But, yeah, it was like sort of the usual, you know, it was the Beatles, the Stones, Rod Stewart, Cheap Trick is what I really remember. It was those four from my mom. And then when I got into my own music for the first time, it was Guns N' Roses and then Nirvana. For rock music. I mean, right before that, it was Run DMC and sort of like the popular rap at that point,
yeah.
Late 80s. And then Guns N' Roses came out, and that's what turned me into rock.
Man, that Guns N' Roses Metallica tour that they did was legendary. The Faith No More opened. You know, they very famously wanted Nirvana to open that. And Nirvana was in that, like, we're too cool for the big metal bands. But what a tour that would have been if that would have come together. So how did you end up at a Monkees show?
I guess they did a reunion in 1986. I was 6 years old. And
one of them didn't do it, right?
Yeah, Peter Nesmith.
There's always the, like, guy that's
There's always
too
one
cool.
guy.
Yeah.
Well, because he's an heir, right, to the whiteout.
Yeah.
So he's got $300 million.
Right.
Doesn't need the reunion money. But yeah, so I went to that. I don't know, I was in Toronto of some outdoor festival thing. They came by, and I was a fan of, at the time, the show was big.
This was a show about a band that was on, what, in the originally
it was
on
the 60s.
What, 60s, 70s?
Yeah, late 60s.
But then MTV would rerun it in the 80s, and so it had this resurgence.
Yeah. It was big when I was a kid.
Yeah, same year. MTV used to show that and The Young Ones right around the same time, which was hugely influential.
We didn't have MTV in Canada.
Much Music.
Yes, we did.
Were the Monkees on Much Music?
No, it was on like a regular channel.
Oh, wow. So it's interesting that that revival coincided in both places. Yeah. We had The Young Ones here, which was a British sitcom.
Oh, yeah. What am I talking? Of course we had The Young Ones. But it wasn't on. It was on a channel.
That was the first time I heard Motorhead. It was Motorhead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They would have been. Madness was on the show. And yeah. So awesome. So awesome. So how did, obviously, your Tommy Lee for you, playing guitar, singing, where did that come from? Who really got you?
All I wanted to do was play guitar, really, at the beginning and write songs. I didn't want to sing. And so when the first few bands I was in, and even in Sum 41, I wasn't the singer. It was we had somebody else. And then it usually ended up I would become the singer because when you're that young, you know, people are coming in and out of your band. And I would end up singing until we get a new guy. And since I was writing the songs, after a while, I just ended up being the singer, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? I found as a journalist that that's not an uncommon story. There's a lot of bands where someone started out playing guitar or drums even and ended up kind of singing by default and then just became the singer. We had Motionless in White here, and Chris, who sings for Motionless, didn't start out to be the singer of that band, and that just sort of happened. And it's more common than you might think.
It happens. I'd assume so.
Yeah. So tell me about getting together and sort of once... not so much all the different people that came in and out early on, but ones that started to really crystallize as what would become Sum 41. What were those days like? What were songs you were trying to figure out together, covers and stuff like that?
In the very early days, it took 4 years for the lineup that everyone, you know, first saw, like in Fat Lip. It started out with Steve-O and I. And then that was like that for 2 years with some other people. And in those days, our biggest influences was NOFX and Pennywise. And then Dave came into the band around, you know, 2 years later. And we're still sort of into that kind of thing. But Dave was also into Metallica and Rage Against the Machine. Those were his two bands that he really liked. And we liked Iron Maiden and Metallica. So we started incorporating a little bit of the metal stuff, mostly as like a joke thing, which is like our pain for pleasure kind of metal stuff that we were trying to bring in. And then after we'd done that, and we felt like we were doing that successfully. We were bringing in this kind of metal thing that was actually working. We were playing it in our shows, and people were seemed to think it was kind of cool, and we didn't see anybody else doing it. And then we also liked rap music, like Run DMC and Beastie Boys, so started incorporating those songs. And then Cone came into the band in 99, and that's also the year we got signed and started making records. So we put all those influences on our first thing called Half Hour Power. And, you know, it's sort of like that was the beginning of sort of shaping of what we were going to do and what we were going to incorporate.